Eventually.
It's a fucking long time coming. We've had a very stressful... If you'd only seen us an hour ago, lads, when we were youthful.
When we still had hope in our eyes.
The way we were when we were like... having a good time. We were like, yeah, we're gonna have a few drinks. Savannah suggested a ball, and then we were like, sure, do you know, we'll record. And then there's a whole drama with recording on Messenger, because obviously Savannah is miniature.
Yeah,
but that's hopefully going to be something we're going to be able to fix, but whatever,
we will figure out this whole recording shindig. For the fact that we are all in three separate countries, it does make it a bit of a balls, but we'll figure it out. There's ways and means that are easy, but we're not going to find them. We're going to take the hard road, and that's what we do.
Oh yeah, so. And then once we know how to do things, we'll be like, why didn't we just do it that way?
Exactly.
We didn't know we could, actually. That's why.
Yeah.
Thanks for not telling us. I had a whole bag of Haribo jellies that I've eaten in the fucking hour it took us to sit down and do this.
The fact, all I've been thinking about is the wee sausages I have downstairs and how much I wish I brought them with me for that whole ordeal. Because honestly, it was a stress.
I think I'm going to get Supermax later and drown my sorrows in a fucking snack box. Do you want to look at my little fella?
Jealous.
My new child.
Ew. Little slothy. He looks
but he's,
so squishy.
But he's weighted. He's like, he's full of beans.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh.
Niamh got him for me for my birthday, so I love him.
Do you sleep with him, like, on your chest or on your back?
See, I sleep on my side, because I'm not a fucking animal, apparently.
Yeah, fair.
You fucking... Anyways, we'll move past this. Savannah's like, why do I have, like, so many health issues? Because you sleep on your fucking front or back, because apparently those are the only two options.
Well, no, I don't. I sleep on my side as well, but, like, if you're going to sleep with something that's weighted on you, I would presume you'd put it in the most comfortable position.
I would put it on my chest, if I was to lie with something.
Same way, I won't, like, sleep sideways on a hot water bottle. That's psychotic. I'll burst it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd put it on my back and lie in my stomach.
Exactly. Or you'd, like, lie on your side and prop it up against you kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, but listen, right? So, I've had this thing where every so often, like, not every so often, it doesn't happen that often. Like, the last time it kind of happened to me properly was in Dubai, where I kind of go blind a bit.
Right. Blackouts.
No. Turns out...
No, you remember, but you can't see.
No, I can't, just can't see. Oh. Turns out, well, not can't see, but it's like everything kind of goes... blurry, but it starts off small. Like, it starts off like a dot in the middle, and then it gets bigger and bigger until I can't see, and then it gets so big that it takes over. Turns out I'm getting fucking migraines.
Oh!
I get, like, the aura migraines, apparently, without the pain, but then I get, like, the pain afterwards. I get the pain in my head afterwards.
What?
And I get the headache. I get
That's
the headache
insane.
Now, because it happened to me yesterday. And I Google pictures of, like, aura migraines, and it's literally that exact thing that I get, like, around the edge, that it's all sparkly, kind of. Like, it's like a rainbow, almost. And I didn't know
right,
it was a thing.
Okay.
I was just like, oh, no. I'm just going blind again.
Again. Also.
And I lose all my, like, peripheral vision. It's like I've total vision is a good way to describe it. It's like I get really like this, but then also it's blurry.
Yeah. No, because I, like, the only reason I was like, oh my God, tunnel vision is because I was recently reading about what tunnel vision is actually like.
Mm.
And yeah, so that's why I thought that's what it was. But like, what the fuck, Reva?
Yeah. Apparently
that
I get
so random. Or can we talk about the fact that they're aura migraines as well? You hippy-dippy bitch, like, you couldn't get regular migraines. Aura migraines.
Yeah, I knew they were a thing, but I didn't think, you know, and then I was like, oh.
Never
like, I saw a thing that people were like, oh yeah, that, like, sometimes you can get migraines that you can, like, you see, like, the thing, and then, like, oh, and sometimes you don't get them, where, like, you don't have pain. And I didn't think anything of it. I didn't connect the dots at all until yesterday I got one, and I was like, holy shit. And Niamh was like, oh, which she was like, oh, you need to get the pain, like, afterwards for it to be a migraine or something. But, like, I looked it up and you don't, because, like, I know people that get, I was talking to the girls, they know people that get migraines, like, without any pain at all. But, yeah, if I was to blow my nose, Anthony, it feels like, it literally feels like someone squashed my head really hard. But now
oh,
I'm like,
yeah,
you know what? It feels like my whole head is bruised. That's how I would describe it. Yeah. Weird. Mad, isn't it? Look at me having health issues I don't even know about, but it's not a health issue, but you know what I mean.
I mean, it is kind of a health issue. Is there not something you can do about it that, like, is there not something bringing them on? Like, there's definitely triggers for them.
A lot of the time, weirdly enough, I'll get them. The one I got in Dubai, the one I got yesterday, was because I, like, lied on my stomach. If I lie on my stomach and prop my hands up, and if, like, I think it kind of, I'm going to get one, but then it, like, triggers it. I don't know, is it the blood pressure or something that it's, like...
Yeah. Or, like, trapping nerves in your back or your neck.
I do have a trapped nerve in my neck, yeah. So maybe that's what it is, actually.
That's definitely, like, that could be such a good place to look. Like, if that's a source of them, it would make the most sense.
That's so true. I didn't even think of the trapped nerve. Yeah, I have one on my left shoulder, just at the back.
No, that would make so much sense. Like, one thing I have learned from fucking going to physiotherapy is that your pain is not coming from where you think it is.
No. No, everything is interconnected.
Yeah. Honestly. So is that the thing you were waiting to tell me earlier?
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't realise it wasn't interesting enough.
I was confirming the Focaccia needed to know, because I was wondering, like, is there a second story before we get into it, or am I supposed to be getting into it now?
I have a, like, it's not a good story, though.
In what sense is it not a good story?
It's like not like a pot, not a funny, happy story.
Right, okay. I mean, in fairness, neither is the meat story of this podcast either, so let's have some depressing potatoes.
This scandalized me on a level that I've never experienced in my life, right?
Okay.
So there was a woman, right? Her name is Antoinette Davis, and she owed a man named Mario O'Neill $200 for, I think it was drug money. Yeah, she owed drug money, right? So $200 drug debt.
Where did this take place, you say?
Raleigh. Raleigh is Raleigh in Texas, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, is that not where fucking Marcus Raleigh. Parks of the last podcast was from?
Yeah, somewhere near there anyways. No, he's not. He's from, it starts with an F. Anyways, but.
Anyways, sides point. Yeah.
Yeah, Fayetteville and shit like that. That's Texas, I think. Anyways, doesn't fucking matter. Yes. Mm-hmm. Either way, South America. South of the American United States, rather. Anyways, Jesus Christ. This lady was at home in their trailer park, like in her trailer, in their trailer park, and this man rocked up to the house being like, you owe me money, right?
Right.
He said, I either want the money or you're giving me sex, right?
Okay.
Tell me why this woman gave this man her 5-year-old daughter, he took the 5-year-old daughter away. Her name was Shania. He obviously sexually assaulted her. And she was found dead under a log 5 days later. And the mother, when asked, she said, oh, he said, I thought it was just going to be for sex.
That's better.
Yeah.
Sure, I thought he was only going to rape her. I didn't know it was going to be rape and murder.
He was... Cool. Now, I don't know, like, I'm trying to look at this kind of shit and I don't want to say things that aren't true, but I read that he was convicted, like, he was given the death penalty. And she was given, like, 17 years or something like that for, like, endangerment.
I sure fucking hope so.
Whatever the fuck. Yeah. Her name was...
Jesus Christ.
Shania Davis. Fucking insanity. People are fucking crazy. I don't know what the
honest
fuck.
Honest God. Honest
what the
Christ.
Fuck? That's a woman out. And she tried to say afterwards, she was like, I'm a good mother. I did as much as I could for my kids. Like, because she'd an older, like, there was a 7-year-old son as well. And I'm like,
how are you a good mother and you handing off your child to repay a drug debt? Explain yourself.
When you could have just slept with the man yourself.
Genuinely.
Which, okay, nobody's saying that's ideal, but also no, not
like,
being funny.
No, obviously still.
You got yourself into $200 worth of debt, right? This man is going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Your options are pay him, which obviously she couldn't.
Yeah.
Or sleep with him. Nobody suggested the child.
She.
You brought up the child, girl.
Literally, she invented a third option that nobody put on the table but her.
Mad.
What a fucking sick bitch.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. Was kind of hoping we'd have a bit more of a happier vibe starting into this, because this is, it's not like an entirely depressing, like, it's a mad story, you're going to be enthralled in nonetheless, but it is quite sad at the same time.
I'm not being funny, but I actually did not expect you to come out with a fucking happy story.
No, of course not.
No, you did. If anyone else was telling me the thing that you did, which is, oh my god, this story is so crazy, I'd be like, oh my god, it's going to be, you know, juicy, but like in a fun way.
No. It is severely depressing, but at the same time, I want the fucking movie. Like, if this might sound terribly disrespectful, but this needs to be a movie. It sounds like a movie. I didn't believe at first when I came across this story. I didn't believe that it actually happened, because I was like, this sounds too much like a movie. It sounds like a movie. Line for line, the shit that was said and everything, I'm like, it's a movie. And I need to see it. And also all of the proceeds then should go to the family. And I don't think it would be a bad thing. But do you want to just get into it?
Yeah.
Will we just see? Okay. Let's dive in. Have you ever heard of the name Jean Coco?
I don't think
so. Or anything about a triple homicide in the name of revenge in a small, small village in China?
No. I don't think so.
Fabulous.
Jean Coco.
Now it's K-O-U-K-O-U, but it's pronounced Coco.
Okay, that's a very unusual name.
Isn't it fierce cute though? I was like, Coco.
No, because I heard the Jean, but I was like, whatever. Anyways, go on.
Yeah.
I didn't copy it, I was going to be in China for some reason, because I'm a fucking idiot, apparently.
So, Jean Coco, for context of what we're about to go into, he says that his entire life of 30-something years could be summed up by three events. One, watching his mother get beat to death in front of him when he was 13. Two, holding his dead mother in his arms while he cried. And three, watching his mother's body get autopsied in front of the whole hometown.
I will say, okay,
I
sorry.
I sense you need a minute already.
Okay. I need more. What the fuck? What? Wait, how old was he, did you say?
13. He was 13 when all three of these events took place.
So his mother got killed.
In front of him.
How?
Beaten to death. She was beaten to death in front of him. The second core memory is holding his dead mother's body in his arms while he cried.
Well, yeah, that would be one, yeah.
It would stick with you, wouldn't it? Yeah, you think. And the third one, the most shocking of all, is watching his mother be autopsied in front of his entire village.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry now, but when, how, wait, okay.
There's context on that a little bit later, but okay. It is.
I need, when did this happen?
This took place in the 90s, 96 to be precise.
And where in China did you say this took place?
This takes place in Wangping Village in China. So it's a real remote, teeny-weeny little village.
H-U-A-N-G, is it?
No, or W-A-N-G, Wang. Wang. And then P-I-N-G, Ping.
To be fair, it looks very small, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Super remote, and that plays a huge factor in the story as well. Because, like, the level of injustice isn't just... It's borderline tribal injustice.
Well, it's going to be, isn't it?
Yeah, and I just... Oh, you're going to be scandalised, Caoimhe, honestly. Okay.
I don't even know why I'm trying to look at a map of China because it means fuck all to me. Like, it really does. I'm like, I don't know anything. Like, if you showed me even a map of Japan, I'd be like, okay, I can make sense. China, I could not tell you where the fuck anything is.
Well, sorry. I am the worst person at geography, so I'm with you. Like, forget about it. Don't ask me countries' capitals. Don't ask me where they are on the map. I am the worst. The worst.
I can do all that, but I struggle with China. I really struggle with China. I think it's because it's a lot bigger than I think every single time. And I'm like, it's a different shape than what I think it's going to be every single time. I don't know why. I have such a block with it. Anyways, go on.
Okay, so we're in Wangping Village in China, and the killers were their neighbours, their next door neighbours.
Of course they were.
The situation is, we have the Zhang family, which is Coco's family. So Zhang Coco, which consisted of his mother, his father, his older sister, and himself, who was the youngest. And then their next door neighbours were the Wang family, which is going to make things ever so slightly confusing between the Zhangs and the Wangs.
But I know of some Wangs, so I'm like, I can work with that.
I immediately thought of Avatar The Last Airbender and Sokka's alias, but I cannot remember what first name he used, but he used Wang as one of his aliases.
Oh, did he? Oh, he did. He did.
Absolutely did, yeah. So the Wang family consisted of Mr. and Mrs. Wang and their three sons. Now, I don't have names for anyone but Coco himself. So they will be referred to as Mr. and Mrs. Wang, Mr. and Mrs. Zhang, and like eldest son, second son, and youngest son.
Okay, I can work with that.
Yeah. Still distinctive enough, you know, and then sister as well for Coco's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, the families got on really well. Like, they had a proper, like, you know what you'd expect from village life kind of community. Community.
You
vibes.
Do expect like, that, but village shit goes bad and it goes bad fast and it stays bad. It's like, it's the equivalent of like a family feud. Like, you end up in a literal feud with the people that live literally two doors
literally,
down.
I am in living it. Not this, but I'm living it. Like, I'm in a feud, we are in a feud with our neighbour just behind us because they have started to complain that our fucking ventilation system is too loud at night and literally to the point that they're, like, threatening to sue. So, village
life,
man.
It's the same as, do you remember Mam Trasna?
Oh, fucking yeah.
Yeah, like, it's
small
that kind of
village murders for sure.
You think it's going to be, oh, cutesy, like, everyone gets along because we all live in the same place. No, that's exactly why you end up hating the country, because you know people like your siblings.
But this is even, it's worse than that because of outside influence that it goes sour. Like, the most classic reason of all, fucking green money. So, like I said, initially they got on really well. They were both, like, farming families. it was really unstable in their like little mountain fucking village. Like some years they'd have a great harvest, they'd have plenty of food on the table, they're making a little extra money from selling because they had a really good grow. And then other years they're not even able to put enough food on the table to feed their family. So the neighbors would help one another based on who had a better season.
Yeah,
of course. If one of them had a bad season or if one of them was ill or whatever the fuck, they would swap and change and help each other.
Mm-hmm.
That was all going great until the government steps in.
Yeah.
And they're doing this grain scheme. They're doing a project in like that they started in the 90s that's still done in America today, where they would go to little villages and little towns and go to the small farmers, and they basically make contracts with them that they would get that local farmer to produce tons and tons of grain for them, and they would pay so much more money than what that farmer would normally make from just selling his grains to like the village people.
Okay.
Limited contracts, like not everybody in the village is going to get a contract, so you have to fight for it, you have to put in a bid for it. And both the Wang and the Zhangs really need this contract. Yeah.
Could you not go splits, like, fuck's sake?
Ah, see, you're onto something, Quiva, because they had the same idea, sort of. But like, before the idea hit them, they are fucking killing each other. They start turning against each other.
Like, just have one big farm between ye, and then you've the two fathers from both families on the fucking contract.
Oh, do you know what? Actually, that would have been such a nice solution. They fair should have done that. I don't know, maybe there was some rule against it or something, but like, that would have been such a good solution. But no, instead they start fighting with each other. And they start kind of like, it's like low-key stuff at first. They're like small-time bickering in the streets, like, you don't really need the money, I need the money, so you fucking forego the contract and fuck you. And then they'd be going back like, no, you don't really need the money, I need the money, fuck you.
We both need the money!
Clearly we both need the fucking money.
We both really need it. What is the solution?
Honestly,
we go splits.
Exactly. And they're like, well, I helped you last season, so now it's my turn, so you give it to me and all of this shit. Like, you know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Me giving you a few fucking spuds last year doesn't mean that I'm giving you fucking
and
millions.
What about the year before? What about the year before, though? Did I help you the year before or the year before
no,
that?
Yeah.
Like, what's been
that's
the history?
That's not how things
know?
Are working. No.
If it's tit for tat, you don't start talking about your tats when you've received plenty of tits.
Don't deny me now.
Honestly.
I just know the wives were like, why can't we just go splits?
So this is the thing. It is literally exactly that. It's the Zhang family who sit back and they're like, okay, these are our neighbors. They've been our neighbors for years. We used to like live really well together before this. We had a whole symbiotic relationship. Like, maybe we're being too harsh. We shouldn't be fighting with each other in the streets. That's not on. There has to be like a win-win fucking
solution.
Yeah. Compromise for both of us. So they start thinking like, you know, because they've only got two sons and our two children, Coco and his sister, and they've got three sons. So maybe like, you know, it is harder for them. So what we'll do is we will forfeit our bid and we are going to give the Wangs the contract for the 2 years because it's a 2 year contract. And then once those 2 years are up and they've made a bit of money, they will give us the contract for 2 years.
Yeah. So tit for tat yet again.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll go back and forth 2 years, 2 years, 2 years, until eventually the government says, we're not doing this shit anymore. It's over. They're like, that sounds like a fucking plan. Sounds good to the Wangs. They shake hands on it, make a verbal contract. This is what we're going to do from now on. And they go back to like, not normal, like they're not friendly anymore still, but they're like civil. They're not screaming at each other in the streets anymore, at least. For 2 years, the Wangs are making their money and they're making a lot of money. Like, so much more than they did before. And they start, like, using this money and they're kind of, like, their son is getting high political power. Like, he's getting government jobs in the village and stuff and then kind of moving up from there. Other sons are doing really well as
well.
What
sort
like,
of a fucking village has government jobs, though? That's
well,
not a village,
like,
then.
Yeah, it's not really a government job. Like, he would have moved up in politics in the village and then moved up to, like, outside politics, you know, the politician ladder. And then he moved into some sort of government job, I think, in the big city afterwards.
Okay.
Now, I'm not quite sure at what point this happened because I don't have a clear timeline of like how their lives went exactly. You know, I know they got the money and the cars and all of that eventually, but at the time it just started, you know, they're just starting to get so he would have gotten into like the local politics.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the end of their 2 years and they're like, we need to give the Zhangs the contract now, but I kind of really like making money and I don't really want to give the Zhangs the contract.
Oh, you're a piece of shit.
How about we just don't tell them that we're going to, but we're actually going to go back to the government to re-sign the contract for ourselves for another 2 years. Because fuck them. So that's what they did. And they screwed them over. Yeah, the Zhang family were obviously fucking pissed.
No, the Wangs were pissed. Or the Zhangs were pissed.
No, the Zhangs were pissed. The Zhangs were supposed to get the contract. The Wangs were keeping it.
Okay.
Zhangs
okay.
are Coco's family.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, yeah, the Zhangs were pissed because they're like, what the fuck? You screwed us over. We had a contract. We had an agreement. And you're not sticking to your side of the agreement.
Yeah, you're fucking a pack of snakes.
Yeah, genuine. Fucking rat
bastards. Wangs is right, cunt.
Or since Lizzie, in the absence of Elizabeth, we will say, you rat bag bitches.
Bastards.
Honestly, fucking
No, I'm sorry now. And sorry, is it not Coco's mother that ends up dying? Oh, undeserved. Well, yeah. Maybe. We'll see. But also...
No. Oh, you just fucking wait. You just fucking wait, okay?
I'm freaked. Bullshit.
Right?
No. Bullshit. And you know what? That just goes to show that the Zhangs are actually a nice family because they probably were the little bit wealthier. So they were like, you know what? We're being fucking greedy now. We'll be sound.
Let's split this with our neighbours. Yeah. They were the ones coming up with the solution. Like, the Wangs weren't out here trying to think of a fair way out of this. No,
the solution, that's a good solution because maybe realistically, maybe you're not allowed to sign
a double contract kind of such. Yeah.
Which is kind of stupid because then you just go splits in the fucking proceeds.
Yeah, but I mean, the government aren't realistically trying to help people, are they? They're exploiting these poor people.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, they wouldn't care if things were like difficult for the farmers to split at the end because that would realistically, you get paid whatever the fuck amount you in. Go halves. Yeah. And if, you know, split it between you, it's up to you how you split it.
Agreed. But obviously, they don't think like us because they're bad fucking people. Fuck them. But yeah, so instead of like being ashamed of themselves for the fact that they just done out their friends and neighbours on a verbal contract that they had made, they're like, what are you going to do about it? Yeah, that's what we did and that's what we're going to continue to do. What are you going to do about it?
Burn your fucking house to the ground, cunt.
They should have, honestly, with all of them inside in it.
See... Okay.
They're like, yeah, you don't have any proof. It was a verbal contract, you know.
Yeah, I would say they should have definitely made that agreement in front of outside people.
Right. But this is the thing, right? Because they're in a small village in China, so they don't have, like, that kind of shit of, like, we're going to actually sign a contract and say this.
No, but, like, as in have Jim Bob from fucking down the road, have him at least stand there and be like, yeah, no, they were in the wrong there.
But this would be a thing of, like, you know, where your word actually meant something.
Oh, 100%.
This is unheard of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like a shock to them that a verbal contract would have ever been broken in the first place.
Yeah, because all you have is your word.
Exactly. Exactly that. Exactly. Yeah, like, it's just not heard of. So they're really shocked by it. And so Mrs. Zhang, Coco's mother, was always kind of the outspoken one of the family. Like, she was the matriarch of the family. She had a really strong moral compass. Like, if she thought something was an injustice, she would fucking talk about it. You know,
Right. The Elizabeth Evans of the family.
Evans of the family. Fucking dead right. Exactly that. She spoke her fucking mind when she was writer.
Yeah. I just realised my name fucked this whole fucking vibe we had going. Savannah Summers, Elizabeth Evans. And then I come along with Kiva Fear. I could have been like,
you need Kiva to marry a fella with a C.
Or a K.
We know what to do now. Anyway, so she's like, the Wangs are pieces of shit. So,
shit. I'm fully on her
shit,
side.
Shit on your shoe kind of shit.
Would scrape it off from the grass.
Yeah. So she's like going around kind of basically screaming at them to like hold up their end of the agreement and stuff.
Yeah, because you're supposed to.
Yeah. And she'd be screaming through the window and they'd be screaming back out the window, like egging her on, being like, you know, basically that she doesn't have a leg to stand on. She's only a crazy bitch and all of this shit. So Mr. Zhang, being the more cool-headed one of the family, he would run after his wife and basically tell her, like, you're not helping things by going and screaming at them through their front door.
It's helped making me feel better. How about that? How actually about that?
He's like, there has to be a better way to handle this. He thinks, okay, I'm going to go And I'm going to go to the village committee and have a chat with them and see if I can sort it out with them, because like the village officials would handle these kind of disputes if there was an oral contract that was broken. That's generally what they would deal with. So he's like, cool, I'll just go there. He goes and he tells them that they need to honour their deal, that his family really needs it now, and that they don't have enough food to even feed themselves. They don't have any money. They're barely scraping by. And they're listening to him pour his heart out. Like, he is practically sobbing in front of them. And they're just like, yeah, no, you should probably just drop this. Don't push this issue any further. Just move on with your life.
Why?
Well, this is the thing. Because that's also unfucking heard of, for them to just be like, no, there's nothing here. Like, of course there was something there. They obviously had an agreement. As it turns out, it's because their eldest son of the Wang family had become president of the government management office. And he basically had a lot of sway over the village committee, and he forced them to, he told them, he was like, the Zhangs are going to come and complain about something, you're going to ignore them.
What a pack of pussies.
Honest to God.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so that's what they did. They listened to him, they ignored the Zhangs, and so that never got resolved the way it should have been resolved by village law. The Zhang family, they end up hating the Wangs even more now, obviously, because not only are they disgusting for going back on their word, they're also greedy, manipulative liars, and on top of that, they're corrupt and using their powers to get rich and screw people over.
Yes.
So fuck them. And so Coco's mother rightfully went around screaming to everyone who would listen in the village about the fact that the Wang family are fucking evil. That they're evil and they're snakes and they're manipulative and all of the wrong that they're doing. So, she would tell everyone.
All these snakes around this town.
Genuinely, where's St. Patrick when you need him?
That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Now we fast forward to August 27th of 1966. And now we know the history of the beef, because the history of the beef is vital to what's about to fucking go down. Coco's mother took her two kids, so Coco and his sister, down to the river to wash their clothes. And on their way back, they obviously had to walk past the Wang house to get to their house. There's two versions of this story. I will get into the second version at the end, but this is the version that everyone ran with throughout the course of this story, so that's the one we're going to start with.
Okay.
So, story goes, as they're walking past the Wang family house, she decides, fuck it. Fuck these cunts. Fuck the lot of them. And the second son, like the middle child, he's like sat out in the front porch, squatting down, whatever, doing 20-year-old man shit. Because he's about 20 at this point, and this is when Coco is 13. She says, fuck it, I hate these people, and she spits at him. And I mean it in the sense that she spits at him. She doesn't spit on him. It doesn't hit him. It hits the ground in front of him. But nonetheless, she spits at him and he gets up and he starts screaming.
Yeah.
What a fucking crazy lady.
Yeah.
So she apparently then stopped dead in her tracks because she'd like walk past the house after she spat. And when he starts screaming about the fact that she's fucking crazy, she's like, what the fuck did you just say to me? Turns around and goes back to him. And so it basically kind of gets to the point that she's like this close to him, you know, they're like kind of face to face, and she spits again. And this time she spits on him. She spits on his jacket.
Lady, I'm sorry. don't spit on people. It's spitting really his soul vibe. Disgusting. I would kick someone's head in.
It is the lowest form of low. But that's where I'm like, remember, this is one version of the story, and I'm kind of on the side of like, this woman with a really high moral compass about what's right and wrong and the honor of your word and maintaining like,
yeah, community but that's values. Clearly what makes it believable. Like, that's nearly what makes it believable.
The level because of disgust.
Because it would send you fucking sideways. The kind of shit, like, that's, you know, I'm not saying she did or she didn't, but it still makes sense to me that she did, because
both sides of the story are kind of believable, which is the thing, you know, both sides make sense.
Okay. So, okay, we'll get this one anyways and we'll come back to it.
Three sides to every story, you know. But anyways, so she spits on him and he thinks an appropriate response is to slap her across the face.
Which I will say, if you're spitting on people, a slap is expected.
Okay, but an elder matriarch in a small village in China.
Oh, it's absolutely insane. But also,
I feel like that's way worse than, like, you know, slapping a biddy in Ireland. You know what I mean?
I will say also, though, there is the there is the kind of like gender roles thing as well. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know if that's particularly, like, with elderly women, I feel like with younger women, maybe, but with elderly women, I feel like they're still revered as an elder. Women are not, you know?
Yeah, but also, are you putting someone in their place as well?
Would have to confirm, but I feel like, I just feel like it's extra bad.
She couldn't have been that old if he was 13, like.
He was 13 and the daughter was older, but I don't know how much older she was.
So say she was even 18, 5 years of a difference.
Yeah.
And your one was,
so she
like
would have been in her like 25 or so.
She would have been in like, yeah. She wasn't elderly, like, you know what I mean?
No, she was young, but she was an elder, like, you know what I mean? She was a matriarch of a family. She still
very
had a,
bad
like,
that he hit this person
position. Yeah,
but also with the story that we have been given, if I saw that interaction as and basic interaction as to I didn't know the backstory and I saw this woman spitting on people and someone slapped her, I would say fair enough.
Yeah, no, I I'm with you on that for sure. Like,
she had her reason for going around spitting, but also once you get your spit on someone else, they are well within the rights to slap you into your face.
I do agree. Like, if she was spitting, she shouldn't have been spitting, and she kind of should have expected a whack for it.
Spitting at someone, sure, okay, you're spitting on the floor to be like, you're disgusted, whatever. It wouldn't be me, I think it's dirt. But to actually get, if someone actually spat on me, especially when there's a family feud already going.
This basically kind of makes all hell break loose, because obviously, and she starts, like, physically fighting this 20-year-old man. Fucking, the oldest sister runs home, like, Coco's sister runs home to go and get the dad, to like calm down the mother and sort this shit out. And so he comes running back and he brings a bat with him. Or not a bat, sorry, an iron rod. So yeah, Mr. Zhang is running back, and then the whole Wang family, obviously, because it's happening in their driveway. So they all start coming out of the house like, what the fuck is going on? They're all trying to break it up initially, trying to pull Coco's mother away and trying to get the 20-year-old away from her, like the second son. In the meantime, they're like having words with each other, the Zhangs and the Wangs. And then instead of breaking up the fight, they're just making little satellite fights.
Yeah, because you would be, get your fucking crazy bitch of a mother away from my fucking son.
Right, exactly. And then she never would have spit on you if you hadn't broken your fucking deal with us, and your pieces of shit. No, your pieces of shit. And then eventually it just descended into complete and utter chaos. And there was just a full-blown brawl between the two families. Mm-hmm. But Coco's mother was still getting the most of the beating. She wasn't really holding up, like, compared to a 20-year-old man in the prime of his life. She's obviously not.
A 35-year-old woman, 40-year-old woman is not fighting a 20-year-old young fella and winning on
any
level.
I'm not being funny, but a small little Chinese village woman is not fighting any man in general.
But realistically, like, as a person, especially if you're not used to fighting, like, I'm not fighting any young fella that's hit puberty, period.
No, and I actually have a fair bit of muscle, and I am fair fucking, like, I can lift a bit of weight.
Oh, I tell you now, if I get the fucking jump on you, that's when you need to be worried.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
In regards to
a situation like this, I'm getting
scrapped. I'm getting mangled.
I'm getting torn apart, like, and I actually have a bit of flesh and fucking muscle on my bone, you know? I'm imagining this poor misfortune did not, if they're after going through at least 2 years of severely grain deficient fucking time.
So much hardship, and, like, they've been out without food for so much that they have an actual plan for every year when someone is fucking dying of starvation, we'll give them a bit.
Whereas the Wangs have been well fed for at least 2 years, and so their sons are going to be a lot stronger in general anyway. You know, so it's unfair to begin with. But yeah, so she's fucking trying to fight this man full of corn, and fucking she just sees the youngest son of the Wangs come running towards her. And she's like, fuck, I'm about to get jumped. Like, I'm about to get jumped by two physically fit kids. I'm done for. Like, they will kill me. So she grabs the iron bar.
No!
That Mr. Zhang brought with him. And she starts, like, waving it around. Like, just, you know, get the fuck away from me. Like, don't come near me. Trying to defend herself. The fucking second son gets hit twice on the head while she's waving it. Like a donk donk kind of, you know, the back and forth.
Yeah, because he's coming towards her, so she's
exactly
waving
it. She didn't mean to hit him.
No, she did. She did. She was waving it to ward people off, and he came towards her, so she bonked him because she was warding people off. So she meant to hit him, But it just was not like, it wasn't like she was going for him.
Yeah, she wasn't trying to do him in with it. Like, why after that happened, Coco said he vividly remembers Mr. Wang, who was stood a bit back, screaming, kill her, about Coco's mother. Apparently they had like a wooden bat lying around on the driveway, so they grabbed that to defend themselves with. And the second son takes the bat. Now, it's debated later on whether it was the second son or not, but I believe it, just putting that out there already now, bias opinion or not. But he starts waving the wooden bat around, and then all of a sudden there's this crack. Coco's mother was hit in the head with the bat, and she fell to the ground, and she had blood streaming down her nose and mouth, and she was motionless, and all of the chaos turned to silence. Do you need a minute for thoughts at any point, by the way?
No, I'll just interrupt you. I will say the oldest son is the one that's into politics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where I would be, like, sus into what they're blaming the second son for. Because what are they doing to try and protect the oldest son? Because they know he has a name for himself.
Agreed, this? But don't forget there's a youngest son involved as well.
Oh, what do you mean?
You'll know in a second. I'll get to it. But
this is going so to my head because I just realised I haven't eaten today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, skinny legend because I'm a fucking idiot apparently.
A pauper's buzz.
I had a bag of Tito's, I think. Did I?
And the bag of jellies, which none of which are going to help you absorb alcohol. So
there's the three sons, but the oldest son is the one that's... The first son is the one that's in the politics.
Yeah, the second son is the one that Mrs. Zhang spat on. And the youngest son is the one that charged her. That made her take off the iron
Okay, I misunderstood. I kind of understood it that it was the oldest son was the one that was outside.
No, the first son was around, I presume, during this altercation, but like he wasn't heavily involved. The second and the third son were the ones
mainly involved in this. The oldest son was probably mid-20s, the second son was 20-ish, and then the younger son was probably 18.
He was younger than 18. I presume he was 16.
What year is this? Why have they no children?
96.
Why have they fuck all children? But why have they only like 2 and 3? This is me coming from an Irish background.
A small
apparently.
Village. How many children do you want them to feed?
It's more a case
I presume he was just really lucky with coming on her back.
Yeah. See, it's more a case of that it's 96, right? And then that means, give or take, these kids were conceived in the 70s and 80s.
Mm. Well, I suppose.
But that's when, like...
If they had access to the likes
contraception.
Of contraception. Because, like, the only reason we didn't have contraception in Ireland in the 90s is because of the Catholic Church. Contraception existed, it just didn't exist in Ireland because the Pope didn't like it. So we couldn't have it.
Okay. So, because this was going to bother me. It's because, it's baffling to me because coming from Ireland, obviously, like,
yeah.
In the 70s, like, families would have been at least kind of 4-ish.
Yeah.
4 or 5, you know? Like, and then going back to our parents, like, my mum is 64 and she's in a family of 8.
But how long did China have their children ban in place as well?
Like? That's what I had the realisation of they had the whole rule of they only wanted one child. So
yeah, so this is either before, no, this would have been like after it was lifted, but they probably still would have been having fewer children. And obviously if there's a child ban in place, then they have access to contraception, even in small villages.
So there was a baby boom in 1962. And there was a population of around 700 million as of 1964.
Mm-hmm.
1962, the government began promoting family planning again, but it was interrupted by the Cultural Revolution, which started in 1966. And the population increase rate was quite high. The fertility rate among urban families decreased from 3 children in the early 1970s to 2 by the mid-1970s. The one-child policy started in 1979, given the overpopulation crisis. Uh-huh.
There we go. So it would have been recent enough then, still, even if it was over.
Yeah, the one-child policy had various exemptions, including twins, rural families who could have more children due to the necessity of the farm work, and ethnic minorities. And also, I'd say, it's not said here, but I'd say if you were in rural, if you had a girl first, or a girl at all, it kind of, they didn't
you
count.
You could try again for a young fella, yeah. Because the girl isn't much help on a farm for work.
And especially with them having the Wangs having the three sons, they need them for the farm. They're wrote off as fucking tax, basically, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So there we go. They had contraception because the child ban would have been in place, so they would have been giving everyone contraception for a while.
I'm curious, though, as to how contraception, though. Like, when was contraception in, like, a thing?
A while.
1974, the central government required the contraception, including oral birth control, be distributed free of charge in rural areas.
See?
No way.
Lots of places were more progressive than Ireland.
Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have fucking thunk it?
Apparently not the people who were raised in the fucking place where babies were put into fucking septic tanks.
Septic tanks. Yeah. Who would have thought
children are a gift from God. God bought. Unless come from a woman who's unmarried, because then they need to go into the septic tank.
If you're 16 and you make that child, it's a devil baby. Fucking you don't, Catholic bastards.
You wouldn't want to have a child born out of wedlock anyway, so am I doing you a favour?
Exactly.
You smelly cunt. How about that?
All right, shall we get back to a different kind of murder? Because there's more to this.
Yeah, sorry.
This isn't even the point of the story. This is just the build-up.
Sorry. Oral birth control condoms and cervical caps being distributed around rural areas of China. Mad. You'd be lucky if you found a fucking condom here.
Oh, honest to God. And without being shamed by a
You had to go up north, like. No, you had to go up north. You know what I made the realisation? Sorry, this is very off topic. But St. Patrick, the snakes, because I was listening to the last podcast on the left. I was talking about St. Patrick's Day because they were filming on St. Patrick's Day. And can you tell this has gone to my head? I can't talk. What did the snake stand for? Sure, wasn't he chasing out the pagans? They're the snakes.
The snakes against God.
The snakes versus the Christians. So the Christians are... He chased out the... Well, I suppose... Apparently pagan is a bad word. That's the word that, like, Christians give to, like, people who are into, you know, like, the... Not Wiccan. See? What's even the word for pagan? Like, what religion did the Celts have?
I know. Paganism is a proper religion. I don't think it's a slur.
Apparently it is. That it's, like, been reclaimed. Anyways, go on.
Right, yes. Moving forward. So, Mrs. Zhang gets beaten to death.
Yeah.
The Zhang family are trying to help her get back up. Because, like, you know, they're obviously trying to see if she's okay. But
well, she's dead, girl.
Not responsive, yeah.
Because her head just got mashed in by a fucking young fella with a baseball bat.
With a whole like,
I'm sorry, imagine a 16-year-old. Imagine the fucking crack of hurl it'd give you.
Honestly.
You have no hope.
Honestly. So they're trying to get back up and everyone kind of starts to realise that there's something seriously fucking wrong. But the Wangs aren't trying to help. They're just kind of stood around looking on.
Well, to be fair, you are in a position where we did just kind of kill your mother. Like, do you want us to help you pick her up off the ground and she had a literal corpse?
I mean, like, all right, there was a bit of a fight and things got a little bit too out of control. You could at least afterwards be like, oh shit, fuck, sorry.
Are you okay? Obviously not. No, I wouldn't want them talking. No.
You tell them to shut the fuck up, but like at least have the decency to be ashamed of yourself, like, you know?
Yeah, okay, yeah, true.
Yeah, have the decency to try. You know, it's not going to help. I'm not going to accept it, but have the fucking decency to try. But they don't. So, like, for context, obviously on the villages, I was saying kind of delicately at the start there, they are in the middle of buttfuck nowhere. There is not a hospital in their village. There is not a hospital near their village. It is a couple of towns over. It's going to take a while to get there. An ambulance is going to be way too expensive.
I looked up where they were, and they are... For anyone who knows, like, fucking the layout of China, I guess. They're quite near, actually, to Beijing, according to my map.
Okay.
But also, that's quite near in regards to China, which is fucking huge. Like, as in...
Exactly. Is it, like, quite near, but it's, like, 80 to, like, 100 and odd kilometers, you know what I mean?
Exactly, that's the thing.
So it definitely is a balls to get to a hospital. Yeah, so you can't ring an ambulance. They don't have cars. They're not affording cars. They're poor farmers in a small village. So they have to call a car to take her to the hospital. So they're saying to the Wang family, like, call her a fucking car so we can take her to the hospital. And they're like, why? Why do we need to call her a car? That's not our responsibility. Like, you hurt our son as well. So are you going to call a car for him to take him to the hospital? And so... Mr. Zhang is like, okay, fuck this. I'm clearly getting nowhere with these cunts while my wife is bleeding out in front of me. So he runs off to, like, the village head, who is basically, like, their mayor. So he's like, okay, just let me fucking come over and see what the fuck's going on here, okay? So he goes over there and they say all that to him. They're like, you know, our son is hurt too.
Wait! I just remembered what you said at the very start. Did you not say triple murder?
Triple murder.
Okay, keep going. What the fuck? I was like,
this is what I said. This isn't the point of the story. This is the build up.
Okay.
So the village head is like, okay, I see your point, but the key difference here is your fucking son is standing and Mrs. Zhang is dead in the ground.
Yeah.
So the necessity for her is a bit fucking higher.
I actually would argue that she's already dead.
But they don't know she's dead. I mean, they're probably hoping beyond hope that she's
I'm
dead.
I'm so sorry. Point. These people live in the back arse of genuine fucking nowhere. They eat fucking animals and shit. They know she's dead. Come on. Like, I'm not being funny, right? I'm actually absolutely... The Wangs
to be honest, come to think of it now, she might not actually be dead yet.
Oh, she could just be like...
Yeah, I think she's just... She's dying. She is dying.
She's had a couple of
clocks. But I don't think she's dead yet because... So they get her to the hospital. She was pronounced dead at 10 p.m. in the hospital. So I presume, like, if she's bringing the kids down to the river to wash their clothes and stuff, she's not doing that at, like, 8 o'clock at night. She's probably doing it at, like, 4 or 5 o'clock in the day, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe even 2 o'clock in the day.
What time of year did this happen?
December.
Oh, yeah. So realistically, like, you're washing your clothes at fucking in the middle of the day.
Yeah, you'd be washing it when the sun is at the highest point, like, yeah. So there's no way, yeah, so she definitely, actually, she wasn't dead yet. She would have been dying.
Okay, fair.
But yeah, so she was pronounced dead at 10 o'clock after they begrudgingly fucking called her car to get her to the hospital.
I'm sorry to fucking inconvenience you with my dying.
Terribly sorry that you killed me and now it's a problem for you.
Terribly sorry that I'm taking a long time to die. My fucking bad. Next time, let me actually kill myself and I do a better job.
You know, honestly. Yeah, the hospital that they went to is, again, it's a couple of towns over, but it's not a big hospital. It's not in a big city. They're not equipped for a lot of things. And so they pronounce her dead and they're no longer able to do anything for her. Like, she's dead. They're a hospital. They treat sick people. They don't have a morgue. So they release her body immediately back to the family.
Yeah, because that's probably the way things were done, though, back then, especially in rural areas of the, well, she's dead now, go bury her. That's a you job.
Exactly. Because there also wasn't really a thing done of, like, autopsies, even if the death was obviously murder, you know?
Yeah.
You kind of want to confirm murder with an autopsy, but even still, like, even though she had obviously been beaten to death, they didn't. That wasn't, like, standard procedure. They release her body, and the Zhangs are, like, completely fucked up. Like, they don't know what to do. They've just lost their matriarch. She was the glue that held the family together. She was everything to them. Under all of that, like, stress and grief, they bring her body outside of the Wangs' house, and they start screaming for justice.
Like, I mean, I get why, but also, you're not getting none. Your mother's dead. And also, I'm not being funny. Going on the way this story has been told, it could have been anyone. The way she could very easily have killed the youngest son. Fucking waving a metal bar around the place. Like, I'm not being funny. Like, absolutely, it's a sin that she died, but also, she was fair trying, not fucking holding her punches.
Mm-hmm.
She very easily could have killed that young lad. She cracked that it was you, but also, it's not like you were targeted specifically. It was,
Well, again, there's two versions of the story.
Yeah, no, going obviously on this version, like, when we come back to the second version, like, I'll give it a new opinion. But going on this version...
Mm-hmm. And this, there's points where you'll be so inclined to believe that this isn't the right version of the story. And, like, again, this is very much, it's up to you. You know, it's up to you what outcome you think is what really happened at the end of it. But anyway, so it's at this point that core memory number 2 is created, because it's here that Coco is cradling the body of his dead mother in the Zhang's driveway, screaming and crying with his father and his sister for something to be done about the fact that they've lost their mother. And some of the villagers start gathering around, and the family reported it to the police, because there had been a murder, you know? Mm. At the end of the day, whether it could have been anyone or not, it was still a murder.
No, he still killed her.
To be done about it. Yeah. Simple, you know, as. So they were right in that sense, dramatics aside.
I'd put it down as voluntary manslaughter or like third degree murder even.
Mm.
No, like, as of the story right now, that's where I would have placed it.
Yeah. That basically then, they end up bringing in a coroner from outside, but the coroner, so fucked up, man. The coroner doesn't have an office.
What?
Yeah. So, like, I guess the coroner would normally kind of go around from hospital to hospital if he was called in to do an autopsy for like some special reason.
Okay.
And then he performed them there. But because like it's such a remote village, there's no building that he could bring her to. There's no hospital nearby. There's nothing. This coroner just performs the fucking autopsy right there and then in the driveway, in front of the village, in front of the families, in front of Coco, the 13-year-old boy.
And his younger sister.
And no, his older sister.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I mean, still shit crack for her and the father and anyone else realistically, because like, what the fuck? But, like, at the same time, shame on the fucking neighbours as well for standing around and watching it happen.
Yeah, like, that's the weird part.
Like, I understand the morbid curiosity that would draw you to it, but, like, shame on you.
I can understand walking up to be like, will we go and see? But then also, like, as soon as you see a fucking autopsy taking place, you'd go, might go home for a cup of tea for an hour and come back.
Honestly.
But also kind of bad of the coroner not to be like, can the family, can the children go inside?
That's the thing. Why did no one say the children need to leave? Even like there's probably other village children there, and why did nobody say the children cannot be here? Like that's the most fucked part of it.
Yeah.
No, he just asked for clean water and a towel. He shaved her head, cleaned her skull off, and then cracked her skull open in front of them all. Yeah.
But when he cracked her skull, he definitely just had a hammer and just.
I presume so, because I can't imagine, or like some sort of hacky saw that he like cut through the bone with. Like, it would have been gruesome, and it would have been long. It wouldn't have been a quick process. I cannot imagine it was a quick process.
What the fuck?
There was no electric bone saw going on here in 1996, like.
No, there was a chisel and a fucking bit of a hammer.
In the middle of a fucking, in buttfuck nowhere, in the mountains in China. No, there was, exactly.
Yeah, I looked it up actually, and they're fully... As in regards to my Googling, I feel like the town was actually renamed.
Oh, no way.
To Hanzhong. My Chinese pronunciation is terrible. But now, that's just because when I Googled like the actual story and then and this came up instead. And they are fully in the genuine middle of fucking nowhere. Like, you know, when you go and you go to like, and like there's the cliffs with all the trees growing up the sides and shit.
That's what I imagined when I was like researching the story, because the descriptive language found was fantastic. I also sources are literally Google articles and various YouTube videos on anyone who covered it. Like I just found everything, you know, I didn't have like a book or a solid source this time.
No, like obviously it's probably come on a lot, but also I would say as well, in a lot of these places, like these are like different cities and things, but then you get like the rural people who live outside the actual.
Yeah. This is what I mean where I said it's like borderline tribal injustice, because this level of remote village is almost like living in like a tribe rather than a society, you know?
Yeah, it's not a greater society. Sacred. It's a...
Yeah.
It's a clan.
Yeah. Which is why it's even more fucked up that they broke the word in the first place, and even more fucked up that like this kind of murder would take place because of realistically what was a petty dispute. Yeah, so the coroner anyways, he decides that yes, Mrs. Zhang's death was absolutely caused by blunt force trauma to the head.
Well,
most
no
likely
shit.
Caused by a wooden bat. So confirming the story basically.
Yeah.
So that night, three members of the Wang family were promptly arrested, and that was Mr. Wang, the father, the second son, and the youngest son.
Okay.
They were all taken into police custody, and after police investigations, they came out and said that the youngest son was responsible for killing Mrs. Zhang. That's where it gets kind of messy, because the family say like, okay, yeah, it was chaotic and there was a lot going on, but we distinctly remember it was the second son, not the youngest son, who hit our mother.
Mm.
He hit her on the head from behind with the bat. That's what they say. They remember it distinctly. Yeah, so the police are just shutting them down and saying that like, The youngest son already confessed to being the one that hit your mother, so just give it up that it was the second son. It, you know, it just, at least you're getting some justice for it. It's fine. But the reason they were letting it go is because they knew why they had done it. They said that if they had let the second son be charged with what had actually happened, then he would have been charged as an adult for murder, even in the second degree. But because the youngest son confessed to it and he was a minor, he was only charged with intentional violence.
Okay.
So essentially, like, GBH.
Voluntary manslaughter, almost. Like, wanted to hurt her, but didn't mean to kill her.
Way less. He got way less. Like, that's way lighter than actual, like, any intent of kill. Like, there's no mention of the fact that she died. Like, he might as well have just kind of bait her up.
Okay.
She could still be alive for that kind of thing, you know? So it is definitely too light. Yeah. It's too light. Like, he did still kill a woman, you know?
Like, if you didn't think anything more of it, if you didn't know any more, you'd be like, oh, he definitely just fucking bottled her.
Yeah, exactly. Intentional violence. What a load of shite. But anyway, so, yeah, the judge said that Mrs. Zhang started the fight by spitting on the second son, and that the youngest son's actions were not as heinous and premeditated, so he was only sentenced to 7 years for his crime. Okay. So he got 7 years for murder, basically, because it wasn't premeditated. Because Mrs. Zhang spat on him, that was a good enough reason for him to end her life.
Okay.
Or spat on his brother, actually. Because it wasn't even. Anyway. If we believe the story and it was the youngest son, it wasn't even him that got spat on. But yeah. So, obviously, the Zhang family try and appeal this straight away. And they try to demand funeral fees, emotional damages, child support and death compensation from the Wangs. And all in all, they asked for the equivalent of $40,000. They weren't actually looking for a lot of money. Given what's after happening, and like the fact, you know, like a 13-year-old boy's mother was killed in front of him. Another child's mother was killed in front of her. Because I don't have a clear age on how old she was. But that's still emotional fucking damage. I think 40 grand is actually quite low. And I think that's a fairly fair thing to ask for after what's happened.
Yeah.
The court decided that the Wang family would only have to pay the equivalent of $1,500, which was barely enough to cover Mrs. Zhang's funeral.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that happened. The way the court is just not on their side, and the way it's definitely because the oldest son is in politics is 100%. Unbelievable.
100%.
Because, like, they have a wrongful death claim, no questions asked.
Yeah.
And you're owed compensation for wrongful death, so, like...
They killed her, like...
They killed her.
Simple as.
I don't get it. Black why and are white. They getting off scot-free? Anyhow. So, Coco's mental health was obviously, not in good fucking condition. Even if we're just looking at the messy aftermath on how the justice system wasn't on their side... Completely disregarded his mother's death as something just non-important and claimed that her life was only worth $1,500.
Which is, like, that's the cost of someone's fucking rent, like.
You know, when this boy had to witness his mother being autopsied in front of him and all. Like, unbelievable. Yeah, people like his neighbourhood, they all start to say, like, the change in him was immediate. They started seeing the effects of what happened to him straight away. He became really withdrawn. Really introverted, like he just didn't like interacting with anyone at all. He didn't want to talk to anyone.
Well, yeah, because the last time he was friends with anyone, they ended up falling out with him and then killed his mother.
You know, these probably would have been like uncles to him.
Yeah.
Given that village dynamic, like this is they're fucked people up he grew up with.
Like they're like older brothers, like that. His older sister, like, was probably the same age as like second or first son, like, or second or third son.
This is, like, later on, like, I don't put it in my notes because it's just a little side tidbit of, like, him. But later on, he comes back and one of the kids recognize him in the village and he's a 9-year-old kid and he refers to him as Uncle Zhang. Like,
yeah.
So he would have probably referred to these sons and Mr. fucking Wang as uncle.
Yeah.
You know? And this is, anyway, this is what they do to this poor fucking child. Anyways, so he drops out of school after middle school. So, I don't know when middle school ends, but I presume it's somewhere around 14, 15.
Yeah, middle school is basically until junior cert. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Like, so 15, for 16, the Americans, then. It'd be, like, 7th to, like, 9th grade.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you'd be, like, 1st year to 3rd year, and then, like, high school then.
They're kind of, like, yeah. Okay. Yeah, makes sense. So, he's, like, 15, 16 then when he drops out of school.
Maybe, yeah. And, depends when. He could have been 13. Maybe younger. He could have been 14.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know for sure, but we'll say between the ages of 14 and 16 anyway. He's out of school. And he just goes and tries to find work because, like, his dad wasn't able to support their family on his own, obviously. And he's like, I gotta man up. I have to man up and support my family. Like, my mother's gone. My dad needs help. This is what I gotta do. Mm. So, Coco's dad was really worried about him. because that's not what he wanted for his son, and that's definitely not, he knew that's not what his wife would have wanted for his son either, you know?
Yeah.
So he says to him, he's like, this is no life for you, just looking for job after job, like, why don't you go and join the army? In the army, they teach you structure and they'll teach you skills, and people from the army are respected, so afterwards maybe it'll be easier for you to find a job. Because he has no, like, school diploma, so maybe having the army behind him will, like, give him a leg up, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what he does. And he's in the army from the ages of 18 to 20. And by all fucking reports, he was a great soldier. He was really well liked by all of his comrades, and his commanders said just really good things about him, that he was so good to the point that, like, they would start to, like, question him, you know? They'd start talking to him and getting to know him better. And at the beginning of his time in the army, his commander sat him down. He asked him, what made you join the army? And Coco was straight up and he said, sir, I want to train myself so that I can get revenge for my mother. Straight up. So the commander is like, hold up, elaborate for me, please. And thank you. So they sit down and Coco, he's an honest motherfucker. He doesn't hold anything back. And he tells his commander everything. He tells him the story of what happened. And obviously the commander is like, really sympathetic. He's like, that's fucked. Obviously, that's fucked. But yeah, he warns Coco that these thoughts of revenge, they don't end well. What you're thinking is really extreme and you're still really young, so you should try to change the way that you think. So for the next 2 years, that commanding captain kept in close contact with Coco because he wanted to help him. And he tried slowly to get him to change his thinking about wanting revenge and think about his own future and what he wants to do after he's done with the army. It kind of starts to work. Like, Coco starts to kind of second guess his plans and think, you know, like, what if my commander is right and the best revenge is success? So he thinks that he could be working with his dad to renovate the house, build a second story for their old family home. Coco could get a job working his way up and that way be successful. Start from the ground and claw your way up. Because he dropped out of school after middle school, nobody wanted to employ him. And nobody gave a shit that he was in the army. So he just ends up working odd job after odd job once again. And the days are going by and Coco looks up and one day he realises, what the fuck, I am 30 years of age. I am 30. Not 13 anymore. 13 going on 30. He is fucking 30.
Yeah.
And he's looking around him and everyone around him, they're getting married, having children, they have careers, and he has nothing. He goes and he finds out how the Wang brothers are doing. And they've all moved out of the village. They're all really successful. The Wangs in general are making good money. The parents had the luxury to retire, which a lot of people in the village didn't have. Fucking eldest son was a successful government worker at this point in the big city. All three of the sons had moved to the city. They'd all bought nice fancy cars, gotten married. And even the youngest son, after getting out of prison with a criminal record, essentially for fucking murder, his oldest brother got him a job. He used his influence.
Yeah, but also, depending on how long he'd been out, like, a lot of the time when stuff was juvenile, it'll be fucking removed from your record after you've done your time.
Yeah, also that's definitely true as well. But which was why it was helpful for him to be the one that had the bat, not the second son.
Realistically, not being funny, but it's a decision a lot of families would make. It's a decision.
Oh, it is the smart, like, I'm not, I can't argue with the fact that that is the fucking smart move. Like, that is what I would do if I was in that situation, realistically. Like, okay, you go down for it, not him, because you're going to get away. Like, he's going to get 30 years. You'll get 7.
Yeah, and you'll probably get out on fucking 3 for good behaviour. Yeah, and we'll exactly. Make sure you're all right when you get out. Sure, yeah. Grand, like.
We'll compensate you for your time, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Coco is big mad because, like, why the fuck should their lives be going great when his
Coco,
is full of shit?
I understand, but also your life has gone to shit because you've done nothing with it. Like, I understand, like, but also there's lots of places, like, you don't need to, like, get a fucking apprenticeship, like, do something. Like, I understand that you're struggling, but also after a certain point, you're not 13 anymore.
Yeah.
And you've fucking made your bed. And the bed you made is that I dropped out of school, and that's shit crack for you, but you either go back and finish your education, or you suck it the fuck up and do something that doesn't require an education, like become a fucking mechanic. Be a plumber, like, be something that, like, you can get an apprenticeship for that Especially back in the fucking 80s, like. Or what, I
this
suppose
is the thing. I mean, he did try. It's not that he didn't. Like, he was going around trying to get better jobs and trying to, like, he moved to Argentina and everything, and that didn't work out for him. It's just...
Yeah, but I'm not being funny. Like, he spent however long in the army?
2 years.
Until what age was he then?
20.
20. And then, like, what? He moved... Like, you're not giving yourself enough time anywhere anyways to do better. Like, he went to Argentina and gave up after a few years. Do you know what I mean? And came home,
yeah,
which is fine.
I mean, I don't know what happened in Argentina, to be honest.
If it's not working, it's not working. And 100% come home. But also, it kind of gets to the point where...
Because it is over the span of 10 years. You know?
Yeah.
So we don't know... I don't know how long he gave one particular thing.
It kind of gets to the point where, yeah, shitcrack, they're doing well. And they probably should... They shouldn't be. But also,
yeah,
get the fuck over it. There's nothing else you can do at this stage, like, in regards to, obviously, I mean, in regards to, like, doing better for yourself. Like, obviously, the whole mother thing is a whole other situation. But in regards
to,
like...
this is the problem.
Moving
on. He couldn't get over what happened to his mother. He couldn't move on.
But he can still work up. You could even get a job in fucking McDonald's and work up to a store manager in a few years. You know what I mean?
I don't know if they had McDonald's in rural China.
A fucking, there's shops,
but I mean,
there's
he moved
loads
to Argentina,
of things. He
so,
could move to fucking Beijing. Like, he can go anywhere. If he can move to Argentina, that means his English or his Spanish was at least decent.
He definitely didn't do that bad, because he did have, I would imagine, a significant amount of savings after
well,
the
he was
years
able to move to fucking Argentina. I think, to be honest, it gives off that he was mad that they were doing well. Not that he was doing badly.
Interesting, because you were taking the prosecutor's side, as it says, in this. The prosecutor against him, because it is he is bad that they're doing well for sure, and that he's not, but it's not in a sense of like he's jealous of what they have. He
no, it's coming off that he's just bitter that they're doing well, period.
Yeah,
because he's fair. Doing grand himself.
Well, this he doesn't, it's not even so much about money wise, you know.
No.
It's not about the big fancy jobs and the nice cars. It's that he couldn't have a relationship and stuff. And there is a quote from him about why he doesn't have a relationship. And then it makes a lot of sense, you know?
Well, I mean, I can imagine being like, I don't want my fucking girlfriend to get beat to death in front of me as well. Like,
yeah. And just the severe PTSD that he had from that whole event, like, it fucked him up to the point that, like, he couldn't.
1000%.
He couldn't love another person. So that's the part that he's more salty about, is that they're happy. And he's not. It's not about financial success or anything. It's they're happy and he's not.
They're going to be. It wasn't their mother that died. Sorry, like.
Yeah, exactly. I no, 100%. You are right. Like, but like, I can see what it's like for him in his hole.
Oh my god, the way I wouldn't have survived until I was 30. I'm so sorry.
He's lived so much longer than I ever would have.
Do you know? But also, he did well in the army. Like, stay in the army then and work up. Like, that's what I mean. Like, if you're struggling to find something that you like, if you find something that you like, stay where you are, and then work. Out of where you are, if you find something that you're enjoying. Anyways,
I guess,
go on.
I suppose it, that's, as you're saying, find something that you're enjoying. But if his whole life, as he said, like, his whole life was filled with hate and anger. So if your whole life is filled with hate and anger, how much are you enjoying anything? He was always searching for the thing that he enjoyed, the thing that he was really good at and loved.
Which is your mother coming back to life, but nobody wants that because that's a zombie apocalypse. Sorry to tell you. No, I fully feel bad for him, but also it does kind of get to the point where, no, I'm going to sound insensitive, just move on.
It took him. It ruined his own, like, he ruined his own life chasing revenge. But at the same time, it's very understandable, like, how it happened to him.
1,000,000%.
So,
fully understand where he's coming from.
He didn't just let them take his mother's life, he let them take his.
Yeah.
He let the root of fucking hate and anger take over him, and he basically kind of sat in that and thought, like, if they hadn't killed my mother, I never would have had all this hate and anger, so it's their fault.
Which,
and
true.
Never the kind of personal accountability that we all have to take that none of us like taking.
Yeah.
I'm letting myself sit in the bath of my own misery soup.
Yeah. You are, after a certain point, are you wallowing?
Yeah.
Not to sound really fucking harsh or mean or anything, this is why I wouldn't be able to be a therapist, but... Are you wallowing?
No, but this is like, you won't say it like that, but this is what a therapist will tell you. Genuinely, it's, you can't, okay, this shit thing happened to you and you were allowed to have negative emotions towards that, but you're not allowed to make that the core of who you are.
Like, your mother dying and being killed horribly in front of you when she didn't deserve it.
No.
Doesn't have to be your personality.
Because no one deserves that, but like, yeah.
Yeah, she got a bang to the fucking back of the head, but she also was bashing a fucking 16-year-old around the skull with a fucking iron bar. You know, like, there's a tit for tat there that, yeah, they went to her and she died. which is obviously mm-hmm. way too much. But also, that 16-year-old or whatever the fuck age he was, the youngest son, very easily could have died off one of her slaps if she hit him wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? So
yeah. Now again, I feel like, like we said, I don't think it was an intent to actually do damage.
I don't think so either, but I also giving, not to be giving them the benefit of the doubt, but giving them the benefit of the doubt, it could have been a case of knock her out and she'll stop. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. The screaming of kill her, though, does kind of
the father screaming to kill her, yeah. But then you can say that, like, if my father was fucking screaming, oh, kill her, and then it's someone going sick and I'm like, I'll just knock her out and then she dies.
Yeah.
You know, anyways, besides the point, it's all fucking speculation.
Yeah, we can fair go back and forth in this, like,
it's just
so
speculation
much.
At this stage. It's just, like, you're assuming people's yeah. intent then, and there's no point.
Exactly. Yeah, so the whole time that fucking Coco's away trying to, like, find work and whatever, poor old Mr. Zheng, his dad,
yeah.
he's alone in the village. Like, his daughter's moved away and got married. She's moved on with her life. And Coco's away trying to, like, find work and taking his route to success that's not very successful. So he's alone and he spends every single day, every single penny that he has, building a second house, a second floor for the family home by hand.
By his own hand?
The reason for it, by his own hand.
That's a bad idea, girl. You are not good at construction, probably.
Telling you? Cuiva, you're fucking wrong. You should see it. It's fabulous. There's videos.
Okay.
I've seen. It's so nice. Honestly, man did a spectacular job. He spent years of his life building it okay. by hand.
Good job.
And the reason he did it is because, like, as we know, in places like that small village and many other places in China especially, but other places across the world, no man is getting no wife without a house. And oh. the nicer the wife, the more chance you have of getting a good wife. Or the nicer the house,
yeah.
sorry.
No,
the more chance you have of getting a good wife. So, honestly, this man breaks my little heart. He's so fucking precious. This is why I'm so on the side of the Wangs, because I are the Zhangs, because I don't believe they're bad people at all. He's such a gem. If you, like, looking at him in the interviews and stuff, because there's a whole, like, you can see every single person speak in this case and all, like, it's recent, you know? We're in 2017 now.
Sorry, I just googled him. Mm-hmm. He's a good looking man as well, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, so this little sweetheart is out here working day and night. Every penny he owns, trying to build the family home into a nicer home because he really wants his son to find love.
This better not be what I think it's going to be.
I don't know what you think it's going to be.
If this house fucking burns down, I'll kill myself
No. This honestly has fuck all to do with the story. I'm just saying it because I'm such a Mr. Zhang fan. Oh, really? I'll send you a video later and it's like, it's way towards the end, but I'll send it to you.
Yeah, no, I can't see the house specifically, but
yeah, so Mr. Zhang, he says, like, he did it for his son because he had been through so much that, like, he'd seen his mother die at 13 and he wanted to just make a beautiful house so that he could marry the love of his life and create his own family so that there could be better memories made in the house.
Yeah.
You precious angel. So yeah, so he's doing that for years and years and years and he doesn't see Coco for all of those years that he's building the house. And then finally in December of 2017, he gets word that Coco is going to be visiting this year for Chinese New Year. And now we all know already that Chinese New Year is a big fucking deal. So yeah. It's very common for even like remote villages like that, all of the children who had moved to the big cities or moved out of China, they would all make that pilgrimage home every year for Chinese New Year to be with their families.
Of course.
Right, just for the context of anyone who doesn't know, I guess. Coco goes home for Chinese New Year and his dad greets him at the door and he's fucking buzzing. He has his son back after so many years of being apart. And then they go inside and Coco pulls out an envelope and he hands it to his dad. So his dad opens it and it's got all of Coco's life savings inside in it.
Okay.
And he tells him, take the money, use it for your retirement, and when sister gets home, we will all sit together and talk about helping you renovate the house. And his dad is looking at him and he's like, what the fuck? Like, he doesn't want to take the money. He doesn't really get what's going on, but he's like, it's okay. It's okay. I don't blame you for not coming home for so many years. Just this year, please don't leave. Let's all stay together as a family.
Yeah.
Coco said he wanted to cry when he heard his father say the word family, because he knew that he wouldn't see his family again after this. So February 15th of 2018, Chinese New Year, his dad left to go to their ancestors' graveyard that was up in the mountains. And like, it was a tradition of the village, obviously, to go and visit the family members and the ancestors where they were buried on Chinese New Year, and kind of go and clean their grave sites, give them offerings, bring them food and burn ghost money, which is something I've only just learned about. And I think it's fucking fantastic.
It's very cute.
Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know, like I didn't, which is fake money that you burn for your ancestors to spend in the afterlife. And I'm just like, adorable, actually adorable, honestly. I love, honestly, most countries' death traditions are better than Irish ones.
I disagree.
Do you?
I like Irish traditions, yeah.
Really? With the 3-day wake and all the sadness?
And a lot of drinking?
Like, aside from, yeah, the drinking and the crack and stuff like that, but that's kind of, I feel like other countries have that with more of a happy tone to the person's life who's passed.
No, see, you're going to the wrong funerals.
I mean, probably. I am primarily going to Kerry fucking funerals. Of old men that I never met called Paddy.
Yeah, no. Funerals are a shout. I like our funerals. Spit. The whole open casket thing is a thing that's not around in a lot of places.
I don't know. I like their little thing of like going to the ancestors.
Oh, I do too. I think it's cute.
And food. And yeah, I really like that. And I also really like Mexican, like Dia de los Muertos traditions as well.
Yeah.
And they're the kind of stuff that I mean that like I think we're missing. We could do a little bit
more. See, we do have
that.
We do have a Day of the Dead. We've all souls day. We just don't do, like, it's was overtaken by the Christians, though.
Yeah. We lost the whole, like, beautiful pagan. Ireland was so much better when it was pagan. So much better. Like, taking shrooms or funerals as well was a shout. But anyways. Yeah, so they're doing their whole little grave cleaning tradition, whatever. And his father's going up. And Coco says to his dad, I'll join you later. I need to do my laundry. Which I guess must have been like important enough that his dad was like, that is fine. You don't need to come and praise the ancestors. You can meet me later.
Yeah.
So his dad thinks nothing of it, but Coco knew that he would not be joining his father. Once his dad left, he was waiting, looking through the window for the three Wang brothers to come home for Chinese New Year. He saw the eldest drive up in his fancy car, and then the youngest son came home, but the second son was nowhere to be found.
Okay.
So Coco hears the two talking about how they're going to go up and visit their family's graves, and he decides to follow them and wait in the bushes near the bottom of the mountains. And when nobody else was around, that's when he would attack.
Mm-hmm.
So at around 12 p.m, the two brothers were done and they started heading down the mountain, and Coco leaps out at them.
Okay.
He had covered his face with a mask and a cap, and before the youngest could even register what was going on, Coco slit his throat and started stabbing him in the chest and stomach until he fell to the ground.
Okay.
Then the eldest brother was frozen in fear, and he looked at him and registered who it was that was attacking him. And he whispers under his breath, Zhang Coco. And then scatters. Fucking books it out of there once he realizes who it is who's actually attacking them, because he knows what this is now. And so Coco's not having it that he's fleeing. He chases after him, tackles him to the ground, and stabs him multiple times in the chest and abdomen.
Okay.
And once both of them were dead, he left them on the mountain and ran, covered in blood, all the way to their house.
Okay.
To the Wang house. So he bursts in the front door, walks right up to Mr. Wang, who is busy cooking this elaborate-ass Chinese New Year dinner, and just stabs him right in the stomach. And Mr. Wang drops to the ground, and Coco slits his throat multiple times. Mrs. Wang is in the house while all of this is going on, but Mrs. Wang is old now. At this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if fucking Coco's 30, you know?
Yeah, and their sons were older as well. Like, they were 20 when Coco was only 13. So they're 10 years older. So
yeah, so some of the sons are in their 50s now, like.
So they'd be in their 60s anyways.
Yeah. Her vision is failing. Her hearing is failing. So she doesn't really know what's going on. She just hears a commotion.
Yeah.
And so she starts screaming, like, what's going on? What the fuck is going on? Coco walks right up to her. So that she can see him, and he says to her, you're a woman. I will not kill you today. And he walks out of the house, and as he's on his way out, he stands in the driveway where his mother was killed and sets the oldest Wang son's beloved car on fire. Okay, you definitely went too far, but at the same time, slick.
No, to be honest, I'm at the thing of, like, once you've gone too far, you might as well just keep going.
Oh, absolutely. This is what I mean. Once you get to the burning of the car, I'm like, slick as fuck. The murder, less slick. But the burning of the car, I'm like, nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice touch. And also, like, I appreciate the fact of being like, I'm better than to kill a woman.
Yeah.
By letting, like, their mother live and stuff. It's definitely, like, that was very, I don't know, poetic. It was such a, like, statement to the family. I liked that as well.
Yeah.
So, he's standing there. He watches the car burn, and the villagers who were around on that day and kind of heard the commotion, they said that after he was done, all they could hear him muttering over and over again was, I finally did it. I finally got my revenge. It's a shame I didn't get the second son. Over and over again. Yeah.
I mean, kind of bad planning though. I'd make sure that they were all there before I did it.
Well, I mean, he had a good shout, you know, to come, and they always came home for Chinese New Year, so he should have been there. It's weird that he wasn't.
Yeah, but just also check.
Well, I suppose if you're in his position, is it better to get some or get none?
No, I'd want the one cunt.
Yeah, I'd want the one cunt too. I'm the same, like, as much as the others were also culpable in what happened.
I'd want the one cunt and the father. They would have been my two.
Yeah. The one cunt and the father, absolutely. Yeah. I don't think the oldest son should have been a target.
No,
But at the same time, because he manipulated everything and exacerbated the situation. But you would, okay, though,
for your family.
Yeah.
Anyone would. I don't think that's, you know.
Agreed, but it led to the death of his mother, so absolutely. He's not looking at it from
But I would, if I was to aim for anyone, standard. It'd be that one cunt, yeah. And if I can get the father too, bonus, and if I can get the rest of them, absolutely 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm 10 out of, like, I feel like, yeah, okay, the second son, absolutely, top 10. Like, top number one fucking target. Then the father. And then I would also, like, I accept the youngest son as a target as well, because he's the reason the mother picked up the iron bar in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, I can see the logic there as well. I can see the thought process. But yeah, the first son, and obviously, like, the mother not being killed as well, I think is a solid shout. I appreciate him for doing that.
Also, I think there was a bit of spite in that too, though.
Oh, definitely.
That like, was, I'm leaving that was you alive on purpose.
Yeah. That's a lot of people say that afterwards as well, in, like, the court of public opinion. That it was more of a punishment to the second son that he was left alive to live without his family.
Also to the mother as well.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not killing you because you're a woman.
But true. Also, I guess from the sounds of the story, from either side, like whichever story you believe, it doesn't sound like the mother had a whole lot to do with it anyway. You know, it seems like the mother of the Wang family was not like his mother. She wasn't outspoken and, you know, no. She wasn't the head of the family like Coco's mother was. So I don't know how much she really had to do with it. She probably didn't deserve a death at all. She might not even have been outside, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't take long for the villagers to discover the Wang brothers' bodies, the trail to the mountain, because so many of them would have been trekking up there to visit their ancestors that day. So through, like, witness statements, the police learned very quickly that they were looking for Zhang Coco as their suspect.
Yeah.
Everyone kind of assumed that he would have fled and, like, skipped town immediately after the murders. And even Coco's dad thought the same. Like, initially he thought, when he heard that Coco was in trouble, he thought that he'd gotten into a fight. And so he was ready to deal with a fight. He didn't know that his son had just committed a triple homicide in the space of, like, half an hour. So.
But also get shit done.
Yeah, in fairness, he was
efficient. I'm not dilly-dallying. No, I have shit to do.
Yeah. He was like, fuck it, I'll get some of them, if not all. Might as well.
Yeah, no, one thing I would have made sure of is that one cunt was at home.
Absolutely.
That one cunt that did it is definitely dying.
I think in terms of revenge, like, he didn't get it fully. He didn't get the revenge he deserved at all. But
I personally, if I was to be spiteful about it, would have killed the three sons. Left the parents alive.
Yeah.
The dad's the one that said to do it. And now all his sons are dead.
I'm not being funny. I would have killed the ma. I would have killed the ma.
Yeah, honestly.
I would have killed the mother.
Or all the sons.
Yeah.
That one cunt is dying regardless, because this shit of, like, oh, he'll feel bad. I don't care.
I wouldn't have killed the dad. It's not,
he won't feel bad enough that it's enough. I would make sure that one cunt is dead.
He didn't. I'll tell you that already. He fucking didn't. So you're spot on.
Yeah,
spot on.
Because they never do. The person that deals the killing blow does not care. You take them out regardless. That one cunt is dead every time. Right?
Absolutely.
And then after that, it's who are we trying to hurt emotionally? Are we trying to hurt the mother? Then we kill everyone. Are we trying to hurt the mother and the father emotionally? Then we kill all the sons. Are we trying to hurt just the father? Then we kill the mother and the cunt.
I feel like they wouldn't have cared about losing just one son. Like, it would have hurt, but it wouldn't have hurt as much as if he took all of his sons and his wife away from him and left him lonely.
I know, but I don't feel like killing innocents. Like, I'm not killing the mother.
Yeah, true. I'm just saying in terms of what revenge, I would have done. Again, he had a very high moral code as well, so.
Hypothetically, I'm killing the son that killed her. and I'm killing the father that told him to do it. Because yeah, the two like other boys have lost someone and the mother has lost two people.
And the youngest son, I mean, we can also accept young and stupid and following daddy's orders.
The young, and he panicked and he fucking, you know, he'd already did his bit. Like, he already did fucking however many years. And then the older son was...
Agreed, actually, yeah.
Trying to do well by his family. And then the mother was like, you know, a wallflower.
Definitely not saying he wasn't a snake. He absolutely was a snake. Like, do what he did was
You can't kill people for snakes.
He did it for his family.
You can't kill people for being snakes because then there'd be no one left.
I'm sure there wouldn't.
That one cunt and his father. And I'm leaving the rest. And I'm telling them, I'm like, I'm choosing to let you live. That's what I would say. I like saying that. I like saying that. Like, I say things like that all the time. But that's what I would like to say.
Wouldn't that be fun, though? Just walking up to strangers on the street and just coming up real close and just be like, I'm choosing to let you live today. And then just walk away.
But also it's true though. Every time you walk past someone, you are making that choice. Like, you could kill someone really randomly.
Yeah, so Coco disappears for 2 days, okay? He's after killing the Wang family. Like, two of the brothers, one of the fathers. The father.
Well, maybe you're onto something.
I mean, listen, who am I to speak on whatever Mrs. Wang was up to? That's her business. So he disappeared for 2 days and everyone thought that he had fled. And after those 2 days, Coco just walked into the police station and turned himself in. He never wanted to get away with it. He never tried to flee.
No.
What he had actually done was waited out the 2 days because it was Chinese New Year. And he said he wanted to wait because there was a lot of fireworks going on and he wanted to see the fireworks one last time.
Coco!
Yeah.
Why could you not have just healed?
Oh, it's truly, it's exactly that. Why could you not? Because this is just the saddest story that never needed to happen.
So sad.
So when he was asked what he had done the last few days, he said, I wanted to turn myself in immediately. Now, this is where I'm saying, this is both direct quote and paraphrasing because it's translated from Chinese and we all know that other languages cannot always be directly translated into English.
Yeah, like it's more like you're getting the mood out of the words then.
Yeah. So this will be the essence of what he said, but not a direct quote, because how could it possibly ever be?
Yeah. This is what he said, but it's not exactly what he said, because not obviously.
It can't be word for word. He said, I wanted to turn myself in immediately, but I wanted to watch the fireworks and take a few walks. I walked to the lake and threw my knife in there, and I slept on the grass the entire night. I tried to sleep. I felt really peaceful, but I didn't really fall asleep. The next morning, I walked along the river until about maybe 1 p.m. I walked so long that my feet hurt. I wanted to go back and visit my dad one last time, but when I walked home, I heard a lot of people talking, so I ran away. After that, I went to go and visit my mom. It was cold that night, so I slept by an ATM machine, and then I turned myself in. So police asked him what happened when he went to go and visit his mother, and he said, I kneeled at her grave and I told her, Mom, I did it. I got my revenge for you. He said that in that moment on his mom's grave, on his knees, he felt the pain and anger and hatred and resentment that had been killing him from the inside had finally just gone. When he turned himself in, he said, you know, in the past 22 years, maybe if Mr. Wang or any member of the Wang family had come to apologize, maybe I could have lived a life worth living. Maybe I could have gotten married and had kids, and maybe this tragedy would never have happened. So, like, literally, he's saying himself, an apology would have saved this. An apology would have cured my anger, but you never even did as much as that.
No.
Which is, like, also valid. So, yeah, he's been really open and honest. Like, he's been really vulnerable with the police. But they would later spin that to use it against him, what he said there. And after his arrest, the surviving Wang brother, so the second son, the cunt who did the fucking murder in the first place, he comes out and he's like, this isn't a revenge killing. He didn't kill my family because he wanted to avenge his mother's death. My brother was the one who hit his mother in the head. So his whole concern is like, oh, but it still wasn't me who did it. Even though he's saying it's me who did it, it wasn't me who did it.
What he just said makes no sense.
No.
He has just said he never avenged her because he never killed the person who killed her, but the person he killed is the one who killed her.
Mm-hmm. Notice the hole starting to form in the Wang story. So Mr. Zhang gave an interview after that, and he said that it was in fact the second brother who was holding the bat and hit his wife on the head from the back. On January 8th of 2019, Coco's trial began, and it was a really quick trial in the sense that the evidence was there. The killer admitted to doing it, So because of that, the judge sentenced him to death almost immediately. So side note about the trial. The prosecutors tried to reject Coco's admission of guilt. They tried to reject it because that wasn't the story they wanted to tell. So they said that he didn't try to avenge his mother's death after all these years. They argued that Coco did it because he was unsatisfied with his life and society.
No, that's not
true. And they basically accused him of being an incel.
No, because that's not. Like, he wasn't unhappy with his, like, he felt like it was unfair.
Yeah.
That they were happy and doing well when his mother was dead and he was struggling.
Exactly.
That's it.
It wasn't a case of, like, oh, this is so unjust. They're walking free because they have, like, they have good lives and I don't. It's not just that simple. It's, they don't deserve to have good lives because they took my mother from me, and I can't have a good life because they took my mother from me. So how is this fair? You know, so they really, like, yeah. Trying to accuse him of being an incel? Fucking ridiculous. So this is what I was on about earlier. They literally straight up asked him in court. They're like, you're 35 years of age and you refuse to get a wife. Why? Does nobody want to date you? Like, they asked him, like, why does nobody want to date you? Blah, blah, blah. And he said, after my mother died, I often have flashbacks in my head and I can't get rid of them. At the end of the day, you know, I'm just being realistic. With my current mental state, there's no way I could make another person happy.
That's so valid.
So valid. So fucking valid. And honestly, really mature mental outlook as well.
Yeah.
Then they try to argue that he's not Robin Hood and he's not fighting injustice and getting revenge. He's just not happy that the Wang brothers are doing better than him and they're happier than him. And to back up their theory, they brought up the fact that Coco had accused the second son of being the killer. And they claimed that the little brother went to jail to cover up for him and get less time since he's a minor.
Yeah.
But the mom and the second son were allowed to live. They weren't killed. So why wouldn't Coco kill the one that was believed to be the one that killed his mother? So maybe it wasn't a revenge killing. This is like what they're trying to argue. So Coco got really upset about this in the courts. And there is video of him like saying all of this, obviously in Chinese. And you can see it like properly translated and what have you. But yeah, so he got really upset about it in court and ended up getting really angry with the judge about what was being said. And he said that he was being vulnerable with the police and he never tried to hide anything. He told them everything and he told them the real reason, that it was for revenge, but that they wouldn't listen to him. And they took what he said about his life, turned it around and twisted it to spin their own little story. He said they used this against me, and they said I was mentally crazy for avenging my mother's death. They said it was because I was jealous. That's why I did it. I was unsatisfied with my life and that's what led me to kill these people. There are so many people out there who are unhappy with the world and with their lives. Do these people go out and kill? Everyone has a reason to kill. It's not that I'm mentally insane. It was for revenge. So like,
what do you want me to say? Like,
he wanted to kill them because they killed his mother. No other reason. If his life had turned out shit just because it turned out shit and their lives had turned out great, he wouldn't have killed them.
No, he killed them because they killed his mother.
People started coming out with fake witness statements because the second son was using his money to get him to do so. So basically getting him to say like, oh yeah, Zhang Coco is just jealous. He was always jealous of them and all this kind of shit. That like, it wasn't a revenge story. This is why he did it. And they were all just being paid off to be witnesses. And so because of that, they didn't really seem to take any sympathy on him given the situation that led up to the triple homicide. Like, okay, I'm not expecting them to be lenient on him. He is still a murderer. But like, he had actual reasons to kill, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, but the court didn't agree with us and Coco gets a life sentence. Or a death sentence, my apologies. He gets sentenced to death because the murders were premeditated and because of how brutal the murders were. But his attorneys immediately asked for a retrial because Coco's severe psychological issues were not taken into account. And his poor saint of a father was trying to rally up the equivalent of $15,000 to get Coco psychologically evaluated.
15,000.
Yeah, 15 grand.
That's fuck all, like.
Yeah, but in 1996, that's not
no,
actually.
No, I know, but I mean, like, someone could have given that to
for
him.
Oh, yeah. And, like, for the court to pay that fee themselves, also nothing. Nothing to them. But they refused. They, for whatever reason, they refused to get Coco psychologically evaluated, which I think is insane because it's such a huge factor of the trial. But yeah, for so whatever reason, they had to pay for it privately out of pocket. So his dad is trying to rally up the money to get it done and, you know, like properly get him assessed so that he wouldn't get a death sentence. Like he would obviously get a more lenient sentence if he's suffering from PTSD and that led to the event that it led to, you know, that he's obviously he's not dangerous. He's
well,
not
clearly
dangerous
he
to anyone
does
else.
Have PTSD if he's getting flashbacks and stuff.
Yeah, you know, he never would have killed anyone. He's never going to kill anyone else. He's done what he needed to do now, except for maybe the second son, which deserved. So he goes to the prison to visit Coco and he's telling him, you know, what he's doing, rallying to get him the money and don't you worry, like, we'll at least get you a life sentence if nothing else, but maybe one day you could get out of here. And Coco looks at his father and he's like, are you slow in the brain? No, thank you. What are you doing? He's like, I didn't give you my life savings so that you could waste it trying to get me a lighter sentence. Because from Coco's perspective, he knew what he was doing. He was committing murder and he would have to pay for that with his life. And that was a responsibility that he accepted. Yeah. That was an outcome that he was so okay with. He did what he needed to do.
Yeah.
And now it was okay for him to go. You know, his life deserved to be given then for the lives that he took in that sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he did have a second trial. And that took place on April 11th, 2019. His attorneys basically argues that the murders took place because of human instinct. That Coco's PTSD and seeing his mother be killed at such a formative age and that there was no justice brought about for it. Like, it drove him to take vigilante justice as any human would have.
Obviously.
So they're basically saying it's primal, it's human nature and he couldn't help himself but to do what he did. But once again, Coco was sentenced to death a second time. And the world went fucking insane. The entire internet went insane. Everyone in the village went insane. The whole of China went crazy. Like, it was all over the news. Nobody was happy with this outcome because nobody thought that he deserved the death sentence.
No.
Like, yes, he deserved to be in prison. He did a crime which wasn't justified in that sense. Like, you can't, you know, an eye for an eye doesn't work in that way.
No, yeah.
But he didn't deserve to be put to death for it.
No.
So people are trying to campaign and appeal to the government to try and get him out of there. But ultimately, the court stood by their decision. And on July 17th of 2019, he was executed. And his final words before he died was, Dad, it's okay.
It's not really though, is it? That's the most annoying shit I've ever heard in my life.
What I was saying was the second side of the story. After all of this went down and like they lost the appeal and her brother was executed, his sister came out and she said, everything that they have said that has led to this was a lie. I remember that day vividly. We walked back from washing our clothes at the lake and the second son was on the porch, saw my mother and started verbally assaulting her. Unprompted. She never spat. The mother then started arguing back with the second son. He slapped her, she hit him back, and it turned into a full-blown assault. And then the wooden bat wasn't lying out in the driveway. They went back into the house to retrieve the wooden bat. So she's basically saying it was more premeditated than they're letting on.
Yeah, but I'm not being funny, girl. Where were you during the whole fucking trial?
I'm sure she probably tried to, like, they did try to argue that, but, like, no one was really having it when they were trying to get justice for their mother's death. Because they said that it was the youngest son that did it and the bat was already in the driveway. They just accepted that as the truth. Like, they weren't listening to the fact that it wasn't. It was the second son and he went into the house to retrieve the bat to do the murder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, based on what we've been told, I believe the version where the second son was a bit of a cunt and started saying shit and she defended herself because she was a feisty woman who was in the right. And yeah. It escalated to the point that it shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And I don't think he deserved to be executed for that.
No, I don't either.
But that is the story of Jean Coco's revenge. And I did warn you it would be a fucking emotional rollercoaster.
I mean, he did get his revenge at least.
He did. He did. And even though, like I said, like he didn't get the second son, I do think being left to live with the pain of your whole family being murdered, aside from your ma, does suck as well. Like, he has to at least live the pain that Jean Coco went through. So at least that.
It's not enough.
Mm-mm. No. The wrong son died. Instead of the first son, it should have been the second son. Like I said, three sides to every story. We will never know the third one because there's only two sides that we've heard, and we're not gonna, you know, nobody else was there to tell the truth from the outside perspective of who did what, who started the altercation. But at the end of the day, a woman died and the courts did fuck all about it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it doesn't actually matter who started it. She still died. Mm-hmm.
It was taken further than it ever should have, and no justice came for it. So I'm on his side. I have to be honest. I'm on his side. Yeah. Everything went shit. He tried to move on with his life and he couldn't. So the only thing that brought him peace was to kill the cunts who killed his mother.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't begrudge him.
No.
Wouldn't be what I would have done, but do you, I guess.
It's just such a shame. Yes. All of it, like, all of it is such a shame. It's all caused by pettiness and greed. But I'm glad he got his revenge. But I'm sad for his father that he did, because that's not what his dad wanted.
It's just such a waste.
Yeah. And so, I was thinking, because I think that there was a severe amount of injustice going on, and we have been looking for a new way to end our episodes before I say, always be a hypocrite. I was thinking, you go, Jean Coco, was like the perfect little outro from here on out forever and ever, amen.
I love it, but I also am like 500 mils of gin deep, and I can't tell if it's problematic or not, but I think it's funny.
You go, Jean Coco.
I think we let Lizzie listen to this and let her decide, be the deciding vote.
I think so. Let the sober brain three tell yeses, us if one we've got no. something or not.
We have to be like a marriage here. Three yeses, one no. You know, they say that.
But there's only three of us.
Yeah, so like in marriages and stuff, they say like both people have to say yes or else it's a no. So it has to be two yeses.
Right, yes. Okay, I get you now. Right,
one
yes,
no
yes.
was a no. So three yeses is a yes, one no was a no.
Yeah, so if Lizzie's in, we're all in.
Yeah.
Does that mean we leave it out then for this episode, or do we say it for this episode and let it die with this episode if it's going to let it die here?
Exactly. And let it be known that it's Lizzie's fault if it doesn't happen.
Absolutely. And then we can have all of the cesspits come out in righteous anger if Lizzie
in
turns
righteous
down
anger,
my idea.
Do you know what you'll do is suggest dumb flaws? It's because it's hard to think of things.
It truly is. It truly is.
What was our thing
it took
that we
me
said
this
before?
Long.
And it was like they had the congratulations. Do you remember that? Was that you?
I thought it was congratulations when you got the job in McDonald's.
Yeah, we need to make that onto merch. We need to go back.
Oh, congratulations was definitely, that was an iconic moment as well. We had another one as well. We've had so many of these things.
Yeah,
we're
we need to start writing
people.
Them down. And truly. So we can use them for merch and shit. Even just for ourselves.
Our fucking $1 million business ideas where we're like, oh, wouldn't it be so funny if we did this? And then we find out like 6 months later, somebody did it and made a fortune. And we're like, why are we slow?
Yeah.
Why are we actually slow? Like, why do we belittle ourselves enough to think these aren't actually genuinely good ideas and now we're watching somebody else who thought they were?
Make fucking billions because they
billions.
Were
billions!
Like,
we have genuinely lost out on so much money because of our own lack of self-esteem.
It's a fucking dose.
Is such a fucking sin. Such a sin.
Right.
Anyway, so that's that. That's all I have. We'll be back. We're coming back with a heavy hitter next week. We're not telling you yet what it is because we don't do that anymore because we're secretive and snaky.
And also
because
we don't know.
Yeah. Actually, no, we do. We fair do actually this time.
Do we? I forget.
Yeah. It was your suggestion as well. Yeah. Now, Cunt of a Bastard we'll be coming back with for the next three episodes.
Job.
So yeah. So that's that. And we have no happy stories because this episode has gone on for too long. So
yeah.
Wallow in the misery this week. Fair play to you. And you go, Jean Coco. And always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our cult.